taking a look at alternative energies, utilities have been required by the state to invest a certain amount in alternative energies. Solar energy companies are starting to come in and lease land for these photovoltaic fields. And there are also tax incentives, as I understand it, for these companies. Does that mean that if we take away those tax incentives, will that industry go away? Isn't that a kind of longer-term industry? How does that work?
Well, there's a couple things. The first type of incentive, which is a credit to the individual who wants to put solar panels on their house, is actually very important. And the reason for that is because in technology, in high technology particularly, almost always the cost of manufacturing and development is going to be substantially higher than what the other, perhaps older technologies are. This is what's called the experience curve. And as you produce more and more of a particular product, you're going to drive down that learning curve or drive down the experience curve. In order to make a technology competitive with the older technology, you need these type of credits or grants.
And you're saying that as a fiscal conservative.
Oh, absolutely.
That you should be incentivizing these types of movements.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. You know, fiscal conservative is a fiscal conservative when it's appropriate. I mean, the idea is to run a business and understand the relationship of economics and how it ties to economic development and the technology and incentives and things like that. See, we're lagging behind. We're lagging behind China. And in some areas of alternative energy, we're lagging behind Europe, too. If we're going to compete on a global range, we need to be the leaders in this particular area. And that's only going to occur when we're incentivizing these type of high technology activities.
And so you think we should also be incentivizing solar companies to come here and create these fields that they then connect to the grid?
Well, that's a slightly different issue. Most of these products are going to be made in China, if we're talking about solar panels. So if we're incentivizing the construction of Chinese-made solar panels in the area, some of that money is actually flowing to China. So what is actually being spent here in North Carolina by North Carolina companies, it's basically the installation.
When it comes to offshore wind energy, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, I think, is looking at the Cape Fear region as it's one of the new darlings, one of the new great potentials for offshore wind. Does that mean that if we do create these offshore wind farms here, there isn't going to be a truly significant benefit to the Cape Fear region?
From an employment point of view, no. And that's one of the concerns I have. Again, when you look at what's called the value chain of wind energy from and all the components that go into a wind farm, you're talking about the turbines, you're talking about the propeller shafts, you're talking about the installation of these things, you're talking about the leasing of the land. The vast majority, about 90% of that cost, is actually produced outside the United States. So the only thing that's really going to benefit the state of North Carolina from an employment point of view is possibly the leasing of land if it's local land. But again, if we're talking about offshore, it's federal land. And primarily the installation. But even then, there's no guarantees that the installation will be done by North Carolina contractors.
And the installation, at any rate, is a short-term sort of
It is a short-term, and the maintenance tends to be very, very small. So if I was going to provide a tax incentive, you know, for these sort of things, I would make darn sure that a condition of that is that those products are produced to a very large extent in the United States.
Craig Galbraith of UNCW, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you.